U-Haul. Moving made easier, amen? Moving made easier. That's what we've been talking about. Let's look at a little review of what we've been studying so far, and then we'll finish up today. First of all, in the first message we saw, this is a message series on responsibility. Can you say that word with me? Responsibility. And you know who put me up to this one? My wife. We'll talk about what's our responsibility as an individual, as a church, etc. So the first thing we discussed was our personal responsibility. We looked at Galatians chapter 6. You are to bear your own burden. Did you know that or say what?
I thought everybody's supposed to help bear my
burden. You're supposed to bear your own burden. You've got a pack on your back, Jack or Jill. That's your pack. And we talked about from Galatians 6, what's in your pack? There's certain things that we're to do that everybody is called to do. It's not my job to carry your pack. Why? Because I've got mine. Understood? Say. Another soldier wouldn't ask another soldier, hey, by the way, would you carry my pack? No. That was the first message. Number two. Second message was my responsibility to others. Do we have a responsibility to other people? Yes or no? Sure we do. And a lot of that responsibility is right here in our pack. Certain things we're supposed to be helping people with all the time. But what about when a Christian has a burden that's heavier than they can bear alone? You know what the answer is? I must help. I must help them. Remember the picture on this message that we did, that big rock that fell on that lady? You know, listen, we're not talking about somebody not carrying their load. We're talking about somebody that's smothering to death. They're covered up. They're dying. There is no way they can make it unless you help. But we get confused on that. So we went to the Bible and saw what were areas that the Bible says was that we're responsible for. A lot of times we think the church is responsible for stuff. The church ain't responsible for it. Never has been responsible for it. You understand? So that was in that message. Hang in here with me. All right? Last week, I've lost 40-something pounds over the last 4 months. Okay? So I put on a vest last Sunday morning. In case you weren't here, I put on a vest last Sunday morning that had 81.5-pound weights in it. I preached the sermon with a 40-pound weight vest on. Remember that? And all those weights represented junk in my life or your life. And I could carry that, and I carried a lot of weight for years. And you can carry junk in your life if you want to. But it's amazing how much energy, how much freedom you got when you unload your trunk of what? Junk. And we talked about that last week. Put your junk on Jesus. Would you say that with me? Put your junk on. Come one more time. Put your junk on Jesus. Did he say that? Here's what the Bible says. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for who? You. Amen? And that word care is the word anxiety. And last time I checked it out, stress, worry, mess like that, you know what I call it? It's junk. It'll kill you, won't it? Say, screw you up. Today's the last message. Here we go. Number four. Can you say that with me? I'm moving. Come on, help me now. That's how we do it here. One more time. I'm moving. That's it. Why in the world are you going to get you a U-Haul truck if you ain't moving, fool? Say, look, I got a U-Haul truck. Sit down in front. You need to move then. Right? And we got you ready to move. Good thing about moving, you throw away a lot of what? Junk. I love going to people that's moving. I love going by their house and getting stuff by the road. How many does that? I do it. You call me ahead of time if you want me to. Yeah, I love it. How many have ever seen me pick up junk before personally with your own eyes? All over the house. Look at this. That's good. Here we go. So you got the U-Haul truck. That's the series. We need to do some moving now, right? Let's move on. Let's do some moving on. I need your attention. Here we go. Let's go. Can you say that with me? If you're going to move, you got to get this down first. I haven't arrived. Come on. I haven't arrived. See, you got to know this first. All right? If you look out the window And do you haul trucks still in the driveway? Good chance you ain't left yet. Amen? You got to move. You got to move. Here we go. Y'all listening? Here we go. You'll never move if you think you already have. Say that with me. You'll never move if you think you already have. See, a lot of people aren't moving for Jesus Christ because they think they already have. You'll never move if you think you already have. And we're going to talk about that this morning. This message, when I first put the titles together and we lay them out ahead of time, but I don't know what I'm going to really do until I get there that week of studying. And I was, many of you know, I struggle sometimes with my sleep. It's not sometimes, I do a lot. That's why I love memorizing Scripture. At least when I lay there, I got ammunition to fire back at Satan. Because I don't know about you, boy, my mind can go crazy on me. And so the other night, I woke up, and a Scripture came to me as clear as crystal. But let me tell you something. If you're waiting on the Holy Ghost to pop Scripture in your head, it ain't happening. It's called read the Bible. Amen? Give Him something to work with, all right? So I've memorized quite a bit over the years just because this is what I do and I love it. It's very important. So I'm laying there and a Scripture comes to my mind. It wasn't even what I was thinking about the path going this week preaching. But I love it when He does that. And this is the Scripture. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? That was the Scripture. And then I started mulling over that whole passage in my mind. So that's where we're going today. I thought this message would be about bad things in my past. I've got to get over all these bad things. Hey, guess what? We unloaded that vest last week, didn't we? Say. So this ain't that. That's not the message this week. We're going to go from Scripture a whole different way. Moving on. Y'all listening? Hang in. I haven't arrived yet. Pull that Scripture back off in just a second. Look. See, some of you, that's what you're driving. Oh, and you know what? In the day, that car was great. It ran. It was flying. It was pretty. It was moving. But that's where a lot of Christians are. They're living yesterday. Look at what I did. Look at, I've done this for Jesus. That's who you are. Get a good look at it. That is you. Useless for the kingdom of God. You got the U-Haul truck out truck in front, and you ain't even moving. That's what the message is going to be about today. Amen? I haven't arrived yet. A lot of people think they have. Look at the Scripture. This is all around the Scripture I woke up with and was able to have in my mind. Not as though, Philippians 3:12, I have already attained, either are already perfect or mature, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ. The Apostle Paul says, I ain't arrived yet. If the Apostle Paul, if he hadn't arrived yet, do you think you probably have or have not? Have not. Amen? He said, I haven't arrived yet. What do I mean by that statement? And what did Paul mean when he says, I have not attained yet, as if I already have attained? What does that mean? Here's what he's saying. Don't be self-satisfied with where you are spiritually. Can you say that with me? Don't be self-satisfied with where you are. Move! Move! Oh, I'm good. I got it down. I'm the man. I'm spiritual. I've taught this. I've done this. I read my Bible every day. I'm a board member. I'm all this. I'm a pastor. Who are you talking to? We ain't listening. Move! This is what it's talking about. Self-satisfied. Look at me. Look at the old car. It's got weeds growing out of it. Move! We get self-satisfied when we compare ourselves with who? That's how you do it right there. That's when we get self-satisfied. If I can look at what you're not doing or what you're not doing as good as I'm doing, I'm satisfied. And you know what I'm doing? I'm not moving. I'm just looking. Look at you. Doing better than you do. I ain't moving, though. If I'm moving, I ain't got not much time to look at what you're doing. I wouldn't recommend moving and driving a U-Haul truck while looking at other people. You hear me? Say, move, but we don't do it often because we compare ourselves with other people. Here's how you do move. Compare yourself with who? Jesus. He'll always keep you moving. He ain't standing still. You compare yourself to Jesus, not what somebody else has done, what not somebody else. Now, we're talking about personal responsibility. This is your responsibility here. It's your responsibility to move for Jesus. It's your responsibility to be active. Well, I thought just the preacher's supposed to be active. Are you crazy? We're children of God. We're all told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did you know that? We're all to share our faith. That's who we are. That's in our pack, man. What good is a pack on your back if you ain't moving? Say, you listening? That's what we're talking about here. Move. I want you to see what this passage goes on to say. We're going to see the other verse in a little bit. But it's a sad situation. Look at verse 18. Many people are self-satisfied. And Paul was talking about Christian believers. Believers. He said, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now I tell you weeping, that now they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Followers of Jesus, now they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Park it right there on that scripture, Ron. Just a second. What's that talking about? This was during Paul's day, a group that was self-satisfied. They had trusted Jesus. Now look at me, listen. Okay? But here's the deal. The Bible says, whose God is their belly. What does that mean? Here's what it means. They trusted in Jesus. But once they got Jesus, they started living by rules. That little statement, God is their belly, is talking about dietary laws. That's what that's talking about. These Jews trusted Jesus, and other people were trusting Jesus, and now Jesus had made everybody free, but they're putting people back in bondage now by telling, oh, and by the way, you got to keep these dietary laws for God to be with you and to God to love you and God to help you. Y'all hear me or not? That happens all the time in the church today. Somebody can get saved. Listen, trust Christ, and here's what we do. We start comparing ourselves with ourselves, among ourselves, which is not wise, the book of Corinthians says. And you know what? We start putting rules on people, rules on ourselves, and then we start looking down our nose a little bit because you know what, sister, you don't do it like I do it, darling. Okay? And we start living like that. And that is being an enemy of the cross. Anytime you put anything you do above what Jesus has done, you're an enemy of the cross. Are you listening today? That's what was happening. That's what happens when you get self-satisfied. That's what happens when you stop moving. You start looking around. You start looking at other people. You start looking at the rules instead of the Savior, whose God is their belly. Now here's a real kicker. Look at this next one. Whose glory is their shame. What does that mean? Here's what it means. The Jews, these Jews got saved. They put their faith, they believing in Jesus, okay? So these other people getting saved, non-Jews. Listen, non-Jews are getting saved. And you know what they're telling the non-Jews they need to do? You got to get circumcised. Yeah! You got to get the foreskin, the male's foreskin, excuse me, has to get cut for you to be with us. And that's what that means. Whose glory is their shame? This was a mark that God chose for the males of Israel to have, okay? And it was a thing that God wanted to do. And it was marked them as His people, okay? But what God intended for good, they made it evil. It became a thing that they imposed on other people. And here's the funny thing about God and His glory. Boy, He don't like to share it. He's funny. God's funny. He's funny. He chose to give these male men something some kind of special mark on their foreskin, in their private area. Excuse me. That if they ever gloried about it, they would look really stupid.
Amen. I mean, come on. That's one thing I don't think I'd want to glory in. They were glorying in something that should, wow, that is crazy.
Don't we glory in crazy things sometimes? Say, somebody talked to me this morning. You ever made yourself look better than somebody else? Because it, and you look back at it now and you go, I was an absolute idiot for thinking that way, acting that way. I am crazy! Isn't this a crazy message? They're all like this. Are you learning anything yet? Lord, help us. Here we go. So Paul says, I haven't arrived yet. You'll never move if you think you've already moved. Okay? People had trusted Christ, but they got away from that. Got into rules. Got into look at me. And they became enemies of the cross. Let's learn how we can move. Let's be positive now. Here we go. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Plain English, what does that mean? I haven't arrived yet. Say that with me. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived yet. Brethren, I don't count myself to have arrived yet. And then he says this. Say that with me. But this one thing I do. Come on now. But this one thing I do. How hard can it be? Come on. But this one thing I do. How can I move? Say it with me one more time. This one thing I do. Too many of us don't move for Jesus because we're doing many things other than the... Look at my foreskin. Look at my diet. How stupid. Don't do that, by the way. But anyway, excuse me. Sorry. Anyway, listen. Hang in here with me. You ought to try preaching. That's what they were saying. How stupid is that? Is that right? I'm glad I said it because that's how stupid we are. Okay? We're doing all this. We're saying all this, but we're missing the what? One thing. You want to move? Let's talk about the one thing. Come on. Keep looking. One thing is mentioned several times in the New Testament. Let's take a quick peek at them. We're not going to preach it. The rich young ruler. Remember that story? He said, I've kept all the commandments. I've got all this money. I've kept all the commandments. I've done all that. Jesus told him what? Say it with me. One thing you what? Lack. See, when you think you've done it all or you've arrived, you ain't. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. You go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. He walked away sad. Another one we see in Scripture. Another one thing. One thing what? Needful. There's a wonderful woman in the Scripture. Woman of God. Her name was Martha. She served and she was serving, which is awesome. But she was serving and she looked at her sister doing something different and she compared herself to her sister. And Jesus said this, one thing is what? Needful. See, when you start doing that, you're going to find out you're lacking or that you need really to be back doing something other than you think you're doing. Amen? Let's look at another one in the Scripture. One thing I know, this was a blind man. This statement, one thing's mentioned in the New Testament. This was a blind man who Jesus healed. And the Pharisees wanted him to say that Jesus, the man who healed him, was a sinner. And you know what the man said? He said, let me tell you something. I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but one thing I what? I once was blind and now I see. Amen? One thing. He had it right, didn't he say? Look at the last one thing. Here it is. It's the one today that we have. One thing I what? Do. So what is the one thing? He says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. Let's look at it. If you're going to do the one thing, it's going to take you doing what? Come on. Help me now. If you're going to do the, it's going to take you doing, here's the two things. Here they are. They're going to help you do the what? There you go. Here we go. I forget those things which are behind. I reach forth to those things which are before. You've got to do these two things if you're going to get to do the one thing. All right? I forget those things behind me. What does that mean? That's not just bad stuff. That's good to forget the bad stuff. Yeah, put that junk on Jesus. We did that last week. You need to forget the good stuff. I'm not talking about forget, erase it from your mind, but certainly don't glory in it. Look what I gave. Look what I did. Look at me. You're an old car. You got weeds growing up through you, man, on what you used to do. You got to forget what you what. If you're ever going to move, you'll never leave the house if you keep going, oh, I remember when I painted that wall. And I remember when I put that faucet in. Oh, and I love this paneling. Oh, you'll never get out. Sell it. Move. Okay? You've got to do what? Forget those things that are behind. That's number one. If you're going to do the one thing, you got to do that. And I'm talking about not just the bad, but the good too. Forget it. If I'm going to move ahead, I can't be looking backwards. I'm going to hit somebody. Okay? The second thing is this. If I'm going to do the one thing, and we ain't got there yet, but we're getting there. If I'm going to do the one thing, I've got to do what? I've got to reach forth to those things that are before me. Now here's the point. Watch it. It's really one simultaneous action. When I am reaching forth, I can't do what? I can't be doing this. Try it. Try this when you leave today. Y'all be careful though. Go out there and put your car in reverse and try to go forward. And then put it in forward and try to go in reverse. Try it today. Try it. See if you can go forward by putting your car in reverse. See if you can go in reverse when that car's in forward. You've got to do these two, and it's really one simultaneous action. If I'm going to do the one thing, I've got to forget what's behind. I've got to reach forth unto what's before me. And then this wonderful verse that God gave me again as I woke up the other night. Okay? What happens when I do this? The power of the past is broken by looking to the future. The power of your past is broken when I can look to the future. If I'm living in the past, I can't ever get to the future! Things in our past can become weights like last week. They hold me back. Or they can become an inspiration to move me forward. How many of your ox has been in the ditch before, brother? And that's the one thing that caused you to move on. Amen? I mean, you were hurting. You were down for the count. You were in bad shape. But that's the thing. That's when you turned your life over to God. That's when you got the motivation to kick tail. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. The past can be something that can propel you. It can be an inspiration for you, man. I want to move forward. Would you say that with me? I want to what? Move that truck. I want to see the U-Haul truck move, don't you? Come on, I want to move, man. So what is the one thing, crazy preacher? Here it is. It's the verse. Listen, it's the U-Haulers' Creed, I call it. It's the U-Haulers' Creed. Maybe U-Haul will pick this up, put it in their company. Here it is. Say it with me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's learn it together. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the one thing. That's the one thing I need to do. That's what I need to be about. Keep moving, Raj. Okay? Put the pedal to the metal, baby. Put the pedal to the metal. Press! That's what I'm supposed to do. Every day, Gary Clark is supposed to move for God. I'm supposed to move for Jesus every day. I need to be a man on the move every day for Jesus Christ. That's who I'm supposed to be. That's who you're supposed to be. Every day. Every day. That's who you are. Are you hearing me? Okay, listen. Let's keep looking. I'm getting late, but we're going to make it. Come on. We're putting the pedal down. Here we go. Say it with me again. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is this all about? What is this one thing? I'm moving on, baby. That's what we're talking about. And we're going to learn a little bit about this verse real quick. I press toward. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that word mean? It means I follow after. I follow after. Jesus Christ. I follow after him.
Okay? Look at what I did. What? No, I follow after. Amen? How many ever been following somebody and they get too far ahead, or you got the red light and they didn't, and it's hard, ain't it? Say, you got to stay on their tail. That's where you need to be with Jesus. You know what the word in the Greek language means? It means this. This word press, to follow after, it describes a hunter who is eagerly seeking his prey. It's a hunter out there. Hoots. Always like this. Amen? When you're hunting, who has time to do this? You don't have time to do that. That's what the word means. That's how I'm pursuing Christ. I'm pressing! Pedal to the metal! Listen to this statement. It's just country talk from me to you. You can see it, you can read it, you can hear it, and you can even cheer it. But let me tell you something. If you're going to be a winner, you got to get in the game. You hearing me say? You can tell me, oh, I read about it. I heard about it. I hollered about it. If you're going to get in the game for Jesus Christ, you got to put the pedal to the metal. You got to follow after him. You got to forget what's behind. You got to reach forth what's before. And I guarantee it, you'll start to see your life move forward. You're going to be happy for what's happening. You're going to start to feel good again that Jesus Christ is working in your life. It's a cool thing. This verse means determined with zeal to move forward for Jesus Christ. I press. That's the idea. With zeal. Well, maybe I'll serve Jesus if I get a chance. You're no hunter. You're just a cheerleader. Okay? If you're going to move for Jesus, it's going to take determination. If you're going to move for him. Isn't that what we want to do? Isn't that who we want to be? Come on. It says, I press toward the mark. The word mark means this is my goal. I press toward the mark. There's a mark out there for me. I can't look back. Why? Because I'm looking at the mark. And that keeps me going. You understand? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for this. I want the prize. Say that with me. I want the prize. Of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the prize? The prize is the faithful believer's reward for pursuing Jesus Christ while on this planet. I want it to be said of me that I moved for Jesus. That's what I want to be said of me. While I was on this planet, he put the pedal to the metal. He pressed. He may have died young, who knows, but he pressed. Amen? That's what I would rather be said of me than to be a lazy, no good nothing to Jesus Christ. Excuse me, somebody left our church, went to another church, and I'm just going to be ugly this morning. Already talking to our people about things that happened at their other church. Shut up! Are you hearing me? Come on! Move! I don't want people. Listen, I'm going to be ugly right now. If you want to come from another church and tell me stories about how your bad church was, don't come here. I don't want to hear it anymore. Are y'all listening to me say? Don't say that to me, and I would advise you, don't even tell us about that stuff. Are y'all listening, or am I just crazy up here? That's why churches are failing everywhere. Yeah, instead of just being pressing the metal, put the pedal to the metal. Move, man. That will shut your mouth. That will set your vision for Jesus Christ. It will change who you are. It's a beautiful thing. This is huge. I know I got ugly, didn't I? Sorry. How do I put the pedal to the metal and move forward for Jesus? How do I do it? How do I go from being a spectator and a cheerleader, Clark, to an active follower of Jesus? Now, we're almost done, but hang in here. Don't lose before we get done. The answer is at the first verse we read today. Here it is. Not as though I've already attained, either are already perfect, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, if you read this verse, that last part, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. It's confusing. Plain English, Mr. Raj. Help me, I'm from the country. What does that mean?
Here's how you press for Jesus. Listen, here's what that verse meant. Take hold of what took hold of you. Say that with me. Take hold of what took hold of you. Listen, Paul said, if I may apprehend that which I am apprehended of. Okay? He's saying, I need to take hold of what took hold of me. Okay? And who took hold of me was Jesus Christ. You want to move forward in your life? Pop it up. Listen, then take hold of what took hold of you. So many of us in the Christian faith, it happened to these early believers. They started out well, following Christ. Then they started worrying about their diet and their special mark from God. And they became an enemy of the cross. So many of us forget who we were when Jesus found us, what we were, the filth that He forgave us from. The mouth, my mouth used to say, F this, GD that. That was Gary Clark's mouth. He saved my tongue. He saved my mouth. He's changed my life. Amen? Listen, I need to always remember where I was. Rockingham, North Carolina is where I became a Christian, at that little church. You need to go back and you take hold of what took hold of you. Amen? If you're stuck in a rut, if you're looking back instead of moving forward, if you're just deader than a hammer, if you're more concerned now about talking about what you did or what somebody else ain't doing, you need to take hold of what took hold of you. Are y'all listening, getting the message at all? This is if you want to press. Or you can be that old car with the weeds growing out of it and telling people, look at me, I love Jesus. And they're going, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to your church. Amen? We're done. Jesus took hold of you. Sometimes we get saved. We put our faith in Jesus and time passes. And we think we took hold of Him. We think we did it. Let's get it for the record straight. 1 John 4:19. Say it with me. We love because He first... Say it again. We love because He first loved. One more time. We love because He first loved. You take hold of what took hold of you. And I guarantee it. And you press on that. You just keep pressing on that right there. I guarantee it. You're going to tell me, Clark, I'm moving. Things are happening. You take hold of Him now. Amen? You take hold of Him. I'm in forward now. I got her in drive. Try it today. Put your car in reverse and see if you can go forward. You can't do it. This is Jesus. You put Him in drive and you take hold of Him, and I guarantee it, He's going to take you places. Amen? You're going to have an event-filled life. And God's going to use you. You might suffer a while, the Bible says, but He's going to establish you. He's going to help you. He's going to mature you. And you're going to be complete in Him. He's going to do a work in your life. Say it with me. I'm moving what? Move that truck. Amen. Come on. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Amen. For His Word. Not the preacher, but for His Word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Wow.